Dive into the world of dance at the Victorian College of the Arts. Their program offers a unique blend of artistry, performance, and a choreographic practice within an inclusive environment. As an undergraduate student, you explore contemporary dance, physical theatre, ballet, urban dance, and more in a collaborative studio lab setting. At honors level, specialize in performance skills, choreographic practice, or dance research. Plus, benefit from the proximity of local choreographers and companies including Philip Adams, Stephanie Lay Company, Lucy Guerin, Chunky Move, and Dance House. Through professional placements, their students have the opportunity to develop pathways for their future careers through these relationships and networks. Consider a variety of bachelor, master's, and even doctorate programs available according to your needs. Join them and unleash your artistic potential at the Victorian College of the Arts. Learn more through the link in the descriptions below.
I think on an individual level, it's fine. You can do what you want. But if you are change makers or someone affecting the dance industry within your own community, I think we have to kind of branch out and think beyond our little niche of dance.
Hello and welcome to The Background Dancer. I'm your host, Jason Yup. Thank you for joining me with our community of passionate dance contributors from around the world and across different fields. In this podcast, I offer educational conversations and insightful tips to help you better understand all things offstage about this curious art form. This episode, we explore the future of dance. As artists, we were once called avant-garde of society. Well, that's because it was our job to always be prescient in the perception of our futures, of innovations that could be brought forth, of bravely charting uncharted territory. Obviously, artists play a hugely different role today, but thankfully, we still maintain the most valuable trait, the desire to imagine and create a desirable future. Oh, and one more thing. I was missing from this one, so do enjoy the wonderful voices of Jacob and Joshua, my beautiful, beautiful co-hosts.
Yeah, and before we go on, just shout out and filling in the gap for one of our co-hosts, Jason Leal, Jason Yep. He is also one of the co-hosts of Why Dance. He is not able to join us tonight, but he is the founder, director, and the host of The Background Dancer as well. So do check his work out. And he's obviously not here tonight because he's got really exciting other opportunities happening in Slovakia with the company that he works with and the many other engagement that that's going on. So do check out his Instagram, The Background Dancer. And you can check out the podcast on all streaming sites. And I really love the resources and content that The Background Dancer pushes out. So I'm sure some of you might also enjoy that. So,
yeah, you know, even more importantly, sorry, just to kind of cut in too, I think what's really special about The Background Dancer as of recent is that Jason's doing a special series known as The Mosaic in Malaysia. And so he's going around speaking to individuals around his own home and talking about what dance means to them and what that is in the background with all of these different ideas. So definitely, like, I have been listening to that recently, and it's an exciting new series because he's really kind of doing a sort of, how should I say, a new series that's more introspective than it has been. And so hearing more about Jason and his home, as well as those around his home, it's just very exciting. But my apologies for cutting off. It's just something I'm just so passionate about and hearing more about, just more about the person too. So definitely go check that out, Gabe.
Definitely. Look at us. Such good PR for Jason. Are we getting a cut? So I'll just start the question off to you, Jacob, then. Like, what is in your imagined future for dance? I say imagined as if it's something distant, but actually what do you think we can realize in the near or far future for dance?
Well, gosh, because it's such a weighted question. My first my first knee-jerk reaction when thinking about this past week and the weeks prior was exactly that TikTok and different social media apps are really starting to transform dancing into this more consumer, consumable, like, product. You know, there's just more dance everywhere. And, a lot more people are probably taking into it, and it's becoming more simplistic. And I'd say it's moving away more from inaccessibility to accessibility, but it's also becoming more commercialized. And so I'm concerned with dance becoming, you know, a for-profit industry in the sense that those who create and those who are at the forefront of what's being created for the future, that's going to be, you know, whether it's the TikToks or say like the choreographers or those who start their own dance companies that somehow skyrocket, almost like the Abby Lee Dance Company. You know, yeah. I don't know if you're aware of them, but they're, you know, a youth dance company that had their own TV show, Dance Moms, and now they're, you know, regarded as one of the most famous of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like youth dance companies in the world. And so just thinking about how that TV show transformed that for that company, I'm wondering as to, you know, how is that money being used? Who's profiting off it? Is there going to be, you know, is it going to be very capitalized in the sense that there's one Miss Abby Lee who's going to be taking in all the money, or is that being reinvested into the communities? And so with those fears, I'm always thinking, well, how can it really always be circled back into reinvestment for the future for other creators to be able to become either that, not necessarily cash cow, but also be able to disperse the funds equally so that there's an equal chance, you know? That's my concern and my thought for the future is that it's definitely dance is going to become more mediatized in the sense that maybe there will be a festival for dance like Coachella in the future. But as of now, it's still on its way, and I want to figure out different pathways or different ideas on how it could be restructured so that it's, you know, for the people rather than for the person.
Yeah. That totally makes sense. But I feel like it's a bit of a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Right.
This TikTok and social media and how the whole screen, like accessibility to dance is totally changing, because I feel like on the one hand, it's great because everyone is dancing. Literally, my friends, while I was on the Switzerland trip as well, I have friends who have never engaged with dance. As I was visiting them, they were like, we really want to dance. We want to do TikTok. They're excited to move. They're excited to dance. So in one afternoon, we just went somewhere and they were like, we want to learn this TikTok dance. And I would like quickly watch, and it's kind of basic. So I would quickly watch and teach them the steps, and they're like, that's amazing. How do you pick it up so fast? Da, da, da. And just the conversations around dance and teaching them how to do these movements and relating to a song, I think it really opens so many doors and questions that maybe they have not really pondered about. So on the one hand, I love that dance is entering people's lives in more mundane ways and also in unexpected ways that people are watching it. They're wanting to move, you know. So on the one hand, there's that. But definitely I hear your fear as well and concerns for the future of dance in terms of where is this going and how might it affect the individuals or the actual people within the industry whose livelihood depends on this before it gets, you know, corporatized. Is that a word?
It belongs
somewhere, you know? Like,
oh my goodness, my cat that I'm just cat sitting just decided, you know, I'm going to step up on this desk and knock over all your books. You're a crazy cat, cats. Aren't you? Yeah, no, I yes, I agree with you. It is becoming, you know, one of those questions or those types of activities that, you know, it is consumed and, you know, it is being created in the sense that, you know, everybody's partaking in it. But you have to think also that there are those influencers or those TikTok stars that who either create those dances or are the ones who at least are redoing somebody else's dance over and over and over again. And they're just getting a ton of money through that. And, you know, I have no direct issue with someone benefiting or profiting off of dance. But when it comes down to it too, it's like those stars that are either, you know, taking others' choreographies or repeating different pieces, and they're the ones getting the money, or they're the ones getting the attention, or the label deals, or influencer yeah. credits. It's I agree with you. It's definitely a double-edged sword, but when it comes down to it too, I can just already see that at some point dance is going to be taking on a different context for yeah. how should I say Hollywood, you know, like many other for people sure. like to use the word just for Hollywood, but it's not just yeah. that.
I mean, it's fine, but I think we have to go back to film industry and pop culture to refer to what is trending and what's happening in the world, you know, and like
right.
on the red carpet, influencers, TikTokers are being invited. That's a big step. That's huge. You
right.
know? So I think we have to recognize that. And that's, as I was thinking about the future of dance, that's actually one of the things I feel. I think on an individual level, it's fine. You can do what you want. But if you are change makers or someone affecting the dance industry within your own community, I think we have to kind of branch out and think beyond our little niche of dance. Like
right.
we inhabit a very small section of dance, and we have to expand our imagination to encompass the broader, what's it called? Spectrum of dance, you know, because we have to realize the magnitude of dance as an industry. And again, I think it was in one of our conversations that we said dance is a hugely underinvested industry. And right. I think we ourselves in it do not recognize it, because we have the performing arts, which we're all familiar with. We have theater, we have entertainment, we have management, we have services we're offering, we have social media influences. So I think in the future of dance, we really have to wrap our senses and our awareness around how big dance actually is. You know, we often discount it as something that happens on the fringes or on the margins of society. But right. actually, if you look at, you know, I did this study like, I don't know, 2015, 16, so obviously outdated, guys. But at the time I was looking at the Canadian situation, dance industry alone, and this, I'm talking only contemporary dance and within the performing arts realm, generated so much revenue and GDP of Canada's GDP per capita. So I think it's worth looking into from that aspect as well. And why right. I say all this is that in the future of dance, and I'll speak specifically for myself in contemporary dance and stage live works, I really feel like we have to think in the future, how do we make it more financially sustainable and mentally, for our mental health? How do we sustain and compete? Compete is not the right word, but it makes sense within a business aspect if you're looking at it. How do we compete with or stay updated, that's a better word, or stay updated with the very fast and growing digital industry? I think that's something we can't discount for the future of dance. And I'm actually quite excited by it, to be honest. I think it creates a lot of opportunities, because if we're thinking about the future of dance, we also have to look a little bit at the past. And if, correct me if I'm wrong, but every time that dance has taken a huge leap and huge digression from what was known was always when there was a lot of change, like a catalytic change within society, like war, like
absolutely
the turn of the 20th century, you know, war. And here we are again with war brewing. Of course, wars, small scale conflicts and lots of things happening around the world. But what's the news covering is the Russia-Ukrainian war. And we're amidst all of this. Of course, it's propelling us into something. We're also in the technological digital revolution, you know. So
right. I mean, for me, it's one of those things where I totally agree, because the only reason why I believe TikTok really had its opportunity to rise and become, you know, one of the most popular social media apps that exists today is solely because of the pandemic and that giant amount of change for everyone mm-hmm. to be yeah. stuck inside. And that was a great way for everyone to connect on not only just a social level, but an artistic level as well. And I yeah. think what is interesting about that is that, you know, as you know, it just in reference to what I was talking about earlier too with Coachella, I mean, it's one of these festivals that has been put off for the past few years, and now they're finally having it again. And not only were they discussing it during the live streams on YouTube yesterday, but also when I went out to a local show at the Art Bar where my dance festival is going to be held, a lot of people who, you know, have been going to that festival, Coachella, for decades now, refer to the previous years being, you know, just about the music. You know, everybody was going just for the music. There were certain artists, and whoever had the opportunity or the funds to be able to purchase a ticket went and did that. But now there's a huge emphasis on the influencers and the people who are there. It's not just about the music, but it's also the community and those people who you've been seeing online for the past few years are all have a central focal point to what that festival is. And I genuinely, and like I said, I don't have a problem when it comes to, you know, dance getting this sort of attention, whether it's mediatized or, you know, for the social media or the different media conglomerates like Hollywood. But, you know, that always leads down a really rocky path where there are those with money or influence or power who are making the decisions on what it should be or what it should be recognized as or really, you know, performed as. Versus, you know, it being of the communal voice or someone with like particularly a dance education rather than somebody who's just really good at business and climbed their way to the top rung of a media tech giant.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. Or collaborate or partner.
Exactly.
Like, do your research.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and that's one of the things where I, you know, I have this dream where, you know, something like this festival, All House Festival.
I have a dream.
I have a dream. Si se puede. Yes, we can. But, you know, I would love to be able to see dance put on a big platform and stage just like Coachella. Can you imagine? Just think about this right mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. Imagine going to a dance festival. Let's just pick out a random city. Let's just say Zurich. You're in Zurich.
Yeah.
And all of your favorite dance companies in the world all come to perform on a one weekend event. You pay down $200. You know, Coachella right now is like $500. It's ridiculous. But if you were to pay $200 for that, let's just say USD, not sure exactly what currency you're using, but if you were to drop that down and then you get to see all of your favorite choreographers and performances all in just one jam-packed weekend. Like how revolutionary do you think that would be? Because on the outsides of just the performances, there's also going to be seminars, there's going to be dance talks, there'll be dance classes. You know, it's just all centered around dance. I think that would be one of the most phenomenal experiences ever. But it almost feels like, you know, it's just like what dancing has been or has become on a platform like TikTok, where it's mm-hmm. highly consumable, really quick and fast, and there's not enough time being spent on discussion or really there's not enough time in between sets, right? It's like go, 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 bam, 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 bam. Weekend done. You just saw 10 or 20 different choreographers for $200, but what now?
Hey, Jason here with a special message for you to help and continue serving our beloved performing arts community. So here's what you can do. Share this with one person you believe who this episode can benefit and attach a personal note explaining why. This way, you are not only helping me grow this show, but also adding value to those you truly care about. Massive appreciation, as it means the world to me. And let's get right back to the show.
Yeah.
The only largest thing you'll probably be taking away from it, unless there are chats and talks or, you know, debriefs, is just, you know, inspiration, really, and a great performance.
Oh, no, for sure. I feel like things like that, that's why festivals exist, right? Dance festivals, film, or whatever you name it. It's just that high caliber, intense, invigorating experience of ideas, like
right.
the festival that I was just a part of, right? It it enriched me, it nourished me, inspired me in so many ways. And also just to see the kinds of ideas that so many people are dwelling on currently in this moment in time. So for sure, I also would like to imagine that. But again, I think the trick and the difference is, and what I would like to project for our collective future of dance in the global scene is, I think, how do we make these things accessible? Like,
right.
I feel like, yeah, these festivals happen somewhere around the world, but is it accessible for everyone around the world, for every dancer? There are so many barriers still for, I don't know, for, say, me to just come to the US and participate right. in, say, ADF, American Dance Festival, or something like that, or Jacob's Pillow, you know? There are still so many... There are still so many barriers for people within the industry. So how do we invite people who aren't even in the industry to come, enjoy, participate, receive what dance has to offer?
Exactly.
So I think part of the future of dance, I mean, this is in my long-term list, is I think how do we embody our power as dancers or dance makers within the industry? And I think here, maybe I will ask you, Jacob, is... what do you have for the future? Because I think this is exactly what All House Dance does. You know, it
exactly.
is really making dance accessible and connecting to a new audience that's not, say, the same theater goer. So do you want to share a little bit more about...
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That? Because I completely agree with you. It's the accessibility and desire, and how do we empower ourselves as dancers to really... you know, demonstrate that we have something valuable to share for everyone, not just for the dance community. And I think that's the difference between, say, any dance festival around the world today and, you know, one of the giant music festivals of today, whether it's Coachella or the Lollapaloozas or any of the other ones around the world that are just absolutely phenomenal, is that, you know, there's not really this ideology or this practice of, say, touring for a festival versus touring for the dance company.
Yeah.
And when you go to these festivals, you know, there's music lovers, there's people who play music, who listen to music, who produce music, who invest in music. But then there's just that random 16-year-old who was like, I just want to go out and see, you know, let's say The Weeknd and Swedish House Mafia. I just want to go out because my friends are going, you know. It's one of those things where there's this giant pull and gravitational field of what that event is, that, you know, those who have either just begun their journey into really appreciating and enjoying music to that level, or those that really partake in it as a practice and a daily ritual. That's what dance is lacking right now. But I think we're on that pathway where it is going to become more consumable and more appreciated and accessible. And I think, like I was talking about earlier, there's three paths. There's like the capitalistic path, where it's going to be going down a similar route as many other forms of media today. There's also the opposite of that, the more, how should I say, communistic path, when it comes down to, like, you know, being a non-for-profit, where, you know, that money, there's not any particular person or entity that is, you know, benefiting off of everyone being able to have that experience, but it is rather being reinvested into the community or for future events. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how I'm approaching this festival, because this is our first live event in our entire collective. Our mission is to create free and accessible opportunities in dance, whether that's through performance or education. And so right off the bat, you know, free and accessible, that means that this show is completely free. You know, if there's someone who walks up to our event or show at the art bar, they can walk right in, not have to reserve a ticket, not have to donate. They could walk in and walk out as they please and be pulled from the creativity and from what we're offering. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to be able to get people more invested into the event that's happening right there. And that's why I'm trying to create such an immersive experience with those who are either vendors, practitioners, educators, or performers, surrounding dance and music, and how our festival isn't going to be a whole bunch of dance performances and dance classes, but what else connects to dance and what else can assimilate to dance, and how can we start that conversation around dance using things like ceramics or visual art, or say a flower shop, you know, these are different things that I'm thinking of and trying to get people to be more excited about. Well, even if I'm not a dancer, or even if I'm somebody who doesn't want to take a dance class or really doesn't have any interest in dance, I have these interests elsewhere. And this is kind of interesting over here. And, oh, wow, wait, so you're a dancer too? Tell me about your dance story. Or, oh, wow, I'm over here talking to this vendor right now, but I see this dance class going on and there's people out there who I thought weren't dancers, or that looks easy, or that looks possible. Because for one of my biggest issues when I was first, you know, a dance teacher selling dance programs at Arthur Murray, the hardest thing was to get people through the front door.
Mm-hmm.
Just people to feel like, okay, well, I can go in there. It's just like how Thomas was saying a few episodes back. When it comes to, you know, time is valuable, time is money. And just getting someone to walk through that front door is a first big step. And I don't want anyone to come to the front door saying, well, I don't have $20, or, man, I don't have my mobile device, and I know I was supposed to reserve my tickets beforehand. We're trying to rid of those barriers as much as possible to create an experience that somebody who's just random off the street, just ran into us, maybe be able to might be able to fall into love with dance in our collective at that moment. And that's where I'm trying to essentially create a middle ground, right? Because as a collective and as an organization, we're creating an event where we're really pulling community artists together for one direct cause, for donating towards, you know, creating future events and future festivals so that we can continue doing this. But there's also the option for vendors to sell their work, or for those who are in attendance to donate what they financially can, which is not only empowering the creators, but also hopefully giving them some form of wage so that their work is also valued at what it should be, you know, because I don't think that everything should be publicized and everything be non-privatized, because I definitely think that, you know, especially as we transition into whatever future we're going into, especially with us coming out of the pandemic, artists deserve their hard, you know, the money that they worked for, you know, and I want to be able to value them in that way. And I want to be able to help them realize that by us coming together as a community, we can create more value for your artwork, but we all have to come together for that to even happen. And I think that's the biggest challenge when it comes to dance in the world today that I've seen, particularly down here in LA, is that it's competition. It's all competition, whether it's an actual physical competition or just come to my dance classes, or, oh, you need to go and do this, or you need to have this type of training, or, oh, well, this dancer is better than this one, or my dancing is better than this. So it's, you know, wherever the eyes and the money's flowing, that's who usually gets the most force and buying power when it comes to what their future is in dance. But as a community, when we come together in this way, we're empowering each other at a similar level throughout the event versus, oh, well, there's this one headliner, Alvin Ailey Dance Company, is going to be performing at the end of the night. So, you know what I mean? Like, and that's...
Oh, I love it.
That's what I'm thinking of, you know? And obviously, as I said previously, it's a work in progress, so we're still figuring it out. For example, we wanted to have a ticketing system where people have the option to donate and can reserve their spot at the festival so that people who really desire to be there can also donate, but also reserve their spot. But we also have a certain amount of spots open for those to be free and accessible as well, depending upon how many sales we have for tickets. And thus far, we're about 15% of the way. So it's exciting because, you know, even yesterday I was taking giant text blurbs, and the image that I created off of Canva, which shout out Canva, because they're the greatest publishers of design. Software.
Definitely.
Amazing.
Shout out to Canva and also our past roundtable talk, Dance and Technology. We have to realize these are technologies that are really making our lives much easier to navigate and create and share our work.
So much more. Because for me, who's somebody who's never taken an actual design class, not an art major, I love art, but I struggle when it comes to, you know, let's say Adobe Photoshop. There's apps out there and technology like Canva that's completely free that gives you an insane amount of technology for it being a free service and so many images and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, that as a whole, as I'm sending and texting these messages out with my little Canva poster, you know, as I was saying earlier in this conversation, the hardest part is getting people through the door. I can talk to people about this in person. I can send them text messages. I can say whatever I want.
Yeah.
But it's not going to make a difference unless that person sees that there is some sort of value or, commitment. And, you know, even when I sent out those text messages yesterday, I got, I call it a rule of 10%. And this is something that I think is really important because it, as a creator or somebody who might be venturing into being a creator, you know, or even somebody who might consider themselves a veteran creator, the rule of 10% is this. Let's say I sent that message out to 100 people. Only about 10% of that 100 people that I send it out to are going to respond, react, or give you a response. Whether that's confirming the event or not, they're just responding to what you're saying, right? They're going to give you your feedback that you want to see. But those who actually click on the link and actually reserve or confirm that they're attending is going to be another 10% of that 10. So we went from 100 people I texted to 10 people who responded to one person reserving their ticket. And that's how that usually goes.
All right. What a wonderful discussion once again. Don't forget to once again leave your ratings and reviews. This is a very special episode and a special series that we're bringing to you as we continue to prepare for the official launch of season 2. So don't go anywhere for that. In our next episode, we explore dance and business. What is your value in the arts again? Stay tuned and we'll see you in the next one. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. Be sure to subscribe, comment, and leave a review on your designated podcast and social media platforms. If you found this interesting or helpful, feel free to share with members of your community so that they too may connect with us in our quest to foreground dance in the background. I'm Jason Yup of The Background Dancer, and as always, catch you next time. If you're listening to this, you are most definitely a dance enthusiast, maybe even one for dance science. Well, why not join the International Association for Dance Medicine and Science, or IADEMS for short, and become part of a global community dedicated to supporting dancers and performers worldwide. With active members from over 50 countries, including experts in dance, medicine, and science, IADEMS provides a diverse network of support and resources. As a member, you'll gain access to exclusive benefits such as discounts to year-round events, their vast collection of e-learning opportunities, and a subscription to the Journal of Dance Medicine and Science, amongst other incredible and unique offers. Join the mission for better outcomes and apply for an IADEMS membership today. Click the link in the descriptions below for more info.